Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Well, thank you for joining us today on this episode of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. And the feedback the last several months has been fantastic. We appreciate your hearing the podcast or watching the podcast and also forwarding it to friends. And thank you for encouraging them and us in that way. And I pray that God richly blesses your ministry during these summer months. I've got a couple of questions that have come in, and you can send questions to questions@lancasterbaptist.org. And we're sure glad to help in answering those questions on the podcast if we can. And this question is one that I've been pondering with as well. And a pastor friend sent it in and said, talk about dealing with the tendency of people to attend less, but still feel like they're a big part of the church. And many studies have shown that there are not necessarily shrinking memberships, but rather shrinking levels of involvement. So you may have a church that had 200 members 5 years ago, and they have 250 members today, but their attendance is less than it was 5 members ago, 5 years ago. And that's counterintuitive. How can you have more members and less attendance? And I think it's reflective of the commitment levels in our society today, and sadly, sometimes the spiritual commitment level. So what do you do with that guy that comes 2 times a month and thinks he's, you know, killed a big one? I'll give you a couple thoughts, some things that we're trying here at Lancaster Baptist. The first thing I want to just say is be willing to pastor everyone, everywhere, no matter what their level is. Don't get frustrated at the guy who's only coming twice a month because he may come 0 times a month. You've got to love people where they are, whether they're coming in, whether they're backsliding a little bit. Keep a heart for people. The second thing that I would encourage you to consider is a Sunday morning series. A series may be 8, 10, 12 weeks long. It's something that's building. It's building through a chapter of the Bible. It's building through a topic on marriage, the family, whatever. Something that incites and encourages people to have continuity. That will help at times. The third thing would be hospitality. And I would just say, consider this group of people, maybe there's 10 or 20 families that you feel could be a little more faithful. And maybe take your calendar out, maybe get a couple of other faithful members or staff members and invite them to Sunday lunch. And not to reprimand, but just to enhance relationship and to really focus on developing that relationship with them and creating a heart of love that they would understand how you feel and how the Lord feels for them. So I would encourage you to love them where they are, preach in a biblical preaching series that builds each week. And then thirdly, practice hospitality on those folks. And you'll find that many of these folks are incredibly busy. Many of them still tithe and give. But I understand the pastor's heart. We understand that the call to follow Christ is a call of discipleship and there's a cost. I would encourage you not to acquiesce by having fewer services or less commitment. Keep strong in your offering, but keep gracious in your spirit. So keep offering the number of services and keep a good spirit towards those that are doing their best. Another question that I have received quite a bit lately has been the question about summer objectives. I just wrote a blog about a few weeks ago at paulchappell.com on 10 objectives for the summer. And so I'm not going to rehash all of that. Let me give you a few of the highlights. In the summertime, I would encourage you to take advantage and focus on 3 specific areas of your walk with God. Number one, focus on your personal heart for God. Take time to pray, to focus on Bible reading. Take time, if you can, take a few weeks of vacation or a week of vacation and maybe 2-3 days or maybe a week of just personal study and refreshment. So take time with the Lord. Secondly, really focus on the needs of your family this summer. They're varied at every different age. Sometimes it's little kids, and if you're a young pastor, man, I'll tell you what, some of the greatest days of my life, running around the mountains and the rivers and the parks with our children, creating memories. Don't miss that. Teens need another level of time and discussion about different things, but focus on your family. Focus on time with your wife. And I would just encourage you, your walk with God, your walk with your family. And then really, one of the biggest emphasis for me in the summer is just filling up on good reading. And you know, people like to bicker with you about what you read and who wrote it and all of that. I just say this, try to have a balance to it, focusing on the Bible in the middle. I like to read some of the Puritans and some of the older writings, and then I like to read some of the newer books that might deal with church work. I like to read biographies. I like to read Tozer. I like to read J. Oswald Sanders, some of the classics. You put the mix together, right? But I find that through the summer, if I don't read 10 or 20 books, I feel like I got ripped off. And what I do is, as I highlight on the iPad, I'll transfer those thoughts that really, really spoke to me, or those illustrations, into Word files by topic. That becomes a resource for my preaching later on in the fall. It's something that helps me with staff meetings. Sometimes it's just personal development that I go back and reread. So I would say your walk with God, just slowing down a bit, walking with the Lord in the mornings, listening to the Lord, your investment into your family, and then your development as a reader and as someone that is growing. I witnessed to a man yesterday for several hours. I was stuck in an airport. And I've done a lot of reading about church history, specifically the Reformation era, the Anabaptist period of history in Wales and England and over in Amsterdam. It just so happened that the gentleman was from England. We were able to discuss certain of the revivals, discuss the burning of Latimer and Ridley. It really all connected back to a lot of reading that I had done. And my friend's name is Paul, and I'm praying that he'll be saved. And much of that opened up because of taking time to read and to be aware. So grow this summer, and I know you will. And I pray God blesses you this summer. Well, on today's episode of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, I want to speak about a subject that is really dear to my heart, and that is the development of the church staff. And I love our staff team. I've been blessed over the years to work with some of the greatest Christians I've ever known. And we have, you know, a couple hundred of folks around today, just finished some meetings this morning with people that are passionate for God. They're encouraging towards their pastor. They love one another. And we want to make a difference with our lives. We have a lot of staff that have served here that are around the world today preaching and serving in different ministries. We thank the Lord for their impact. And we pray that God will help us to continue to be a cohesive team here doing the work that God has called us to do. Paul spoke of Timothy and their relationship, and not every relationship that I have with staff is as a Paul-Timothy. I have staff that are older than I am. But when it comes to the unity of heart, I've always loved and respected what I see in the New Testament relationship between Paul and Timothy. And Paul said, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." I think that's a beautiful picture of how a staff member is really an extension of the pastor's heart. The pastor is to be the under-shepherd, the extension of the heart of the Lord, the chief shepherd, and the staff working together harmoniously, emphasizing the same doctrine, the same philosophy, and the same love. When that's happening in a church and the church body sees the unified position and heart of the staff and the pastor, it's a powerful testimony to the grace of God. And so let me speak to you about the staff today, maybe some things that will help you as a pastor or as a team member in a local church. I think, first of all, about the necessity of staff. The story that I read years ago was the story of Dr. George Truett at the First Baptist Church of Dallas and how he had built that church up to around 4,000 people. I think they had two or three staff members, a secretary, maybe one assistant. When W.A. Criswell was interviewed for the pastorate there, he said, "I would accept the position here if I can bring in and develop a staff." And he did. He brought in a large staff, ultimately hundreds of staff. They doubled the size of the church. All because many hands make light work, and in today's busy and expanding society, we need help to see progress in the gospel ministry. Someone told me when we were running about 700, they said, you know, you can build a church to a point with one or two staff, But you're now to the point where the future of the church will depend on the people that you attract around you and that work with you. And so again, I thank the Lord for the folks that have shared in the vision over the years. The necessity of staff is seen in the Bible for many reasons. In the book of Acts chapter 6, it was due to the growth of the church, and they added the deacons, men of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read that God gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, God gave different gifts, different giftedness. And I'm thankful we have staff members. Some are very strong rulers, administrators. Some are very strong at showing mercy and visitation. Others are tremendous teachers. But teamwork makes the dream work. And so the staff is necessitated by the growth of the church and by the varied spiritual needs within the church. There are enough different kinds of scenarios that require people with different gift mixes to meet those needs. I think of some, even today, seated with me in this room, who have amazing gifts of helps and leadership to help put together things like the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. I don't know that I could turn all the equipment on, much less operate it. So there's a lot of ways to use our gifts for the Lord and the growth of the church and the different needs of the church today, including technologically, tell us that we have need for teamwork in the ministry. Also, I think we need staff because of the need for balance. I think of philosophical balance. Now, not so much saying that we hire people to the opposite end of our convictions, but people that can bring a perspective on something that, as a senior pastor, I need to hear. A lot of people think, well, independent Baptist church and pastors are strong and willed. And you know, every leader, doesn't matter, independent, whatever background you are, every leader that's getting something done is going to have strong preferences and convictions. But the fact of the matter is that strong leaders also want to hear. And I appreciate our staff bringing to me thoughts about schedule, thoughts about creativity, that are a blessing and a help to us in balancing out the ministry. F.B. Meyer once said, "Here is the secret to making the best of your life. Discover what you can do best, the one thing which you are called to do for others, set yourself to do it." So I've got to put myself investing time in what I do best and then bring others with me who can help do the work of the ministry in the areas of their expertise. So it's a balancing of one another in the sense of gifts and temperament. It's also needed for the balance of schedule. If a pastor tries to do everything on his own, it's going to be to the detriment of his health, his family, probably his prayer time. And so the staff enables me to do the main things that God has called me to do. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Sometimes we'll have a staff member that feels called themselves to be a preacher. And we're always thankful for that. And I'm always excited to hear how God blesses them. And many times I'll hear back from them, you know, now I kind of understand some of the things that you used to say or feel, because now they're developing their own teams as well. And I think of what Dr. Jerry Vine said to me not long ago. He said, "I tell my preacher boys, if you turn out right, I'll brag on you. If you don't, I won't." And we've had a lot of guys come through our church, whether it's college, school, staff, who are just doing a great job. And we're thankful for the blessing of God on their life. But the fact is that wherever you are, state-wise, internationally, whatever size church, teamwork makes the dream work, and team ministry is beautiful when it's being operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we think of the necessity. Let me mention, secondly, not only do we need a staff team, but let's talk about bringing the staff together, hiring the staff, acquiring the team. Here we see the words in Philippians 2, being like-minded. Paul said, "All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." You know, sometimes there'll be someone that wants to be on a staff because maybe it's a large church and they like the notoriety of that. Or maybe they want to build their own platform, their Twitter following or whatever they're into at the moment. And Paul said there are those that seek their own. It's kind of about their agenda. So when you're hiring staff, you want to look for people whose agenda is God's agenda and who also recognize God has an under-shepherd. And there's really two ways to serve in the church. You're either the pastor of the church or you're helping the pastor of the church. And when God brings the team together for that purpose, then you're able to say, look, we're here to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ together. So I would say concerning hiring a few thoughts. First, hire people with a like-mindedness, a like spirit with you. You don't need to pay for trouble. You're going to get all kinds of criticism, all kinds of negativity from everywhere, but you need to bring people to the team that bring a great spirit. I think it was John Maxwell years ago that always said, attitude determines altitude. I concur 100%. You need to have people around you that they're not necessarily yes men, but they're positive in their spirit. I would say, secondly, hire to your weakness. If this is your first hire, and you say, I'm not strong administratively, you might try to find someone that likes to organize events and that likes to track out a process of discipleship and so forth, and hire to your weakness. Then I would say this, hire synergistically. In other words, it's good to bring people in, maybe from different colleges or backgrounds. I think we have 27 or 28 different colleges represented on our staff. I see a lot of ministries that inbreed, and they so value loyalty that they just hire everyone from their own institution. Even in the last few months, we are bringing in staff who are from elsewhere. And I think it's created some good synergy for our ministry over the years. Again, same doctrine, same spirit, but maybe they saw some things that they could add to here in the conversation. We appreciate that. Be sure to check backgrounds when you hire. Go back and check every reference. We should ask the questions, have you ever been accused or convicted of child molestation? We should not hire someone that doesn't pass that muster and has history in those areas. I just can't stress enough the importance of doing background. I have about a 6-page application that asks everything from financial questions to moral questions to educational questions. And I just want to encourage you, check the backgrounds. It's amazing to me how many deacons, they'll have some pastor say, hey, you ought to get Joe to be your pastor. You know, he's from so-and-so church, call him. And because that pastor said it, they call him to be their pastor, only to find out a myriad of problems existed that really brought shame to the cause of Christ. So do your background check. And then hire purposefully. Will this person add to the ministry? Can they effectively administrate? Are they able to teach in a way that would bring life change? And think it through along the way. Whatever you do, don't compromise the doctrine of your church, the spirit of your church, or the integrity of your church in the process. Don't get so desperate to hire someone that you miss getting the right person. And let me tell you, it's a lot easier to bring someone in than it is to help them down the road later. So get the right people on the boat and take a great journey for God. Let me just say the necessity of staff is to meet the needs of the church, to bring balance into the church. The hiring of the staff should be done methodically, prayerfully, spiritually. And let me say this finally, concerning the role of the staff, you can have different job descriptions, we have classifications, and we write and rewrite those classifications. But there's some basic things that are across the board. So here at Lancaster Baptist, we emphasize that we want our staff to be a part of the witness of the church. We ask them to be out in the public once a week, going to homes, being involved in evangelism. That's a non-negotiable. And I would recommend that as well, because people do what people see. And it's important that the church is leading by example. And then I would say, beyond being a part of the soul-winning ministry of the church, that you want to bring people in that have a servant's heart to be a part of the ministry, a part of the body, whether it's baby showers or revival meetings. In other words, we're not hiring professionals that do the 8-to-5 gig and take the salary. They're coming into a different environment. It is a church family. And so you have the right and the responsibility to maybe take and say, hey, look, we're in revival if you need to leave a little early. And you can make up for that on the workday itself. But with respect to the local church, keep that the priority, the time with God and with his people. And then I would say, besides serving in the ministry, that these should be people that know how to execute. They know how to plan events. I ask questions now, not only about GPA, but what computer programs can you use? What experiences have you had in developing organizations? Make sure that when you're bringing people in, you're bringing people who have something to add to the ministry. And finally, just pray that you can bring Spirit-filled people who have a heart to lift up the arms of the pastor. If you're a staff member today, I don't know what's going on at your church, but I can tell you, your pastor has some burdens. They may be financial, they may be with someone in the church, they may be with some guy taking pot shots at them. Let me encourage you to be a blessing to your pastor today. And if you're a pastor today, I can guarantee that your staff member has some challenges. He's got something he's seeing on the internet that he doesn't understand, or he's got some bill that he can't pay, or he's got a problem maybe at home. I don't know. But I know that your intentional investment in his life, your word of encouragement, buying a book, taking him out for a meal, it goes a long way. So let's edify one another, let's encourage one another, and let's be the team that God has called us to be. And I hope something said today will encourage you and your staff relationship as you live and serve for the Lord Jesus Christ in the local church.
If there's a question or topic you would like Pastor Chapel to address in future episodes, send an email to QA@lancasterbaptist.org.